Saint Faustina not only saw, but experienced in her own body, the three horrifying sufferings of purgatory, leaving us an incredible warning for us to meditate on that I will share with you at the very end. Let's get right into it. Now, when you read anything, and this is just in general, always read before and after, because it is laid out in such a way, especially in things like the scripture and in spiritual writings, where it is laid out in a format. This is the case when you read the purgatory visions of Saint Faustina. If you read before and after, you get a context for what's happening in her life, and you understand the full picture of what she saw. Now, this is the first vision that she has of purgatory. Listen to what happens before, and I'll walk you through everything that she really experiences. It was at that time that I asked the Lord, for whom else should I pray for? Jesus said on the following night, he would let me know for whom I should pray. And see how Jesus answers her prayer, who should I pray for? The next night, I saw my guardian angel who ordered me to follow him. In a moment, I was in a misty place full of fire in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves. Only we can come to their aid. The flames which were burning them did not touch me at all. My guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls what was their greatest suffering was. They answered me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison of suffering. I heard an interior voice which said, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it." Since that time, I am in closer communion with the suffering souls. Now, exactly what I just read to you, the format and the layering of what happened and what she saw, she will now live in her body exactly to the T. So what they were suffering, she's about to experience. That's why she says, now I'm in closer communion, meaning I'm united with them. And when you're united with someone who's suffering, you're going to feel what they feel. Now listen to what she experiences. The day I took the religious habit, God let me understand how much I was to suffer. I clearly saw to what I was committing myself. I experienced a moment of that suffering, but then God filled my soul again with great consolations. Toward the end of the first year of my novitiate, darkness began to cast its shadow over my soul. So this is the first horrifying suffering of the souls in purgatory, and she's going to experience it significantly more. Listen to this. I had to make a great effort to meditate. Fear began to sweep over me. Going deeper into myself, I could find nothing but great misery. I could also clearly see the great holiness of God. Now, as you're hearing this, I want you to think to yourself, she's literally telling us what the souls in purgatory psychologically go through. What they experience, she's experiencing. I don't know if she understood that, but we can understand this. So this is the second great suffering, the intense distance that you feel between you and God, your sinfulness, God's holiness. I did not dare raise my eyes to him, but reduced myself to dust under his feet and begged for mercy. My soul was in this state for almost 6 months. Our beloved mother directress encouraged me in these difficult moments, but this suffering continued to grow stronger. The second year of my novitiate, when I recalled that I was to make my vows, my soul shuddered. I did not understand what I was reading. I could not meditate on it. It seemed to me that my prayer was displeasing to God. It seemed to me that by approaching the holy sacraments, I was offending God even more. But despite this, my confessor did not let me omit one single holy communion. God was working very strangely in my soul. Later on, she says, my soul was in anguish, unable to find comfort anywhere. Exactly what the souls in purgatory are experiencing. At a certain point, there came to me the very powerful impression that I'm rejected by God. This is the third horrifying suffering that the souls in purgatory experience, but she's going to experience these much more deeply. Listen to what happens. The thought pierced my soul right through. In the midst of the suffering, my soul began to experience the agony of death. Do you remember that experience that I had where I said that my aunt was calling out to me from purgatory, and I saw it by just seeing a simple picture on Google Home, and then a client that has her exact same name at that very moment texted me, "I'm in agony." So agony is the proper word that we can use for the suffering of the souls in purgatory. I wanted to die but could not. The thought came to me of what use is it to strive for virtues? Why mortify oneself when all this is disagreeable to God? When I made this known to the directress of novices, I received this reply, "Know, dear sister, that God has chosen you for great sanctity." Later on, that dreadful thought of being rejected by God is the actual torture suffered by the damned, but it's also experienced to a degree by the souls in purgatory. I fled to Jesus' wounds and repeated the words of trust, but these words became for me an even greater torture. This is what they go through. This is what Mother Teresa specifically said that she experienced, that she would pray and it would feel like as if her prayers would go up to heaven and knives would come back down. She literally used those words. Overwhelmed by despair, complete darkness in the soul, I fought as best I could till noon. In the afternoon, truly deadly fears began to seize me. My physical strength began to leave. I went quickly to my cell, fell on my knees before the crucifix, and began to cry out for mercy. But Jesus did not hear my cries. I felt my physical strength leave me completely. I fell to the ground, despair flooding my whole soul. I suffered terrible tortures in no way different from the torments of hell or of purgatory, I may add. I was in this state for 3/4 of an hour. I wanted to go and see the directress, but was too weak. I wanted to shout, but I had no voice. Later on, she says, with kindly words, she began to explain to me that this was a trial sent to me by God, saying, "Have great confidence. God is always our Father, even when He sends us trials." Very easy to say when you're not suffering. When you're in the midst of suffering, it's very difficult to believe these things. Let's continue, because we're getting to the good part. Then, remember, the souls in purgatory were suffering. What was the next thing that she saw? The Blessed Mother giving them consolation. Listen to this. "During the night, the Mother of God visited me in the same way as the souls in purgatory." Interesting, right? "Holding the infant Jesus in her arms, my soul was filled with joy, and I said, 'Mary, my mother, do you know how terribly I suffer?' And the Mother of God answered me, 'I know how much you suffer, but do not be afraid. I share with you your suffering, and I shall always do so.' She smiled warmly and disappeared. At once, strength and great courage sprang up anew in my soul, but that lasted only one day. It seemed as though hell had conspired against me." So we got to see an insight into what is it like, literally like, to have the soul, to have the Blessed Mother come to you when you're in purgatory. That was it. We got a taste of it. It gives us consolation, but it only lasts a moment. So let's continue to come to the incredible conclusion. "The end of the novitiate, the suffering does not diminish. Physical weakness dispenses me from all spiritual exercises. That is to say, they are replaced by brief ejaculatory prayers. Good Friday, Jesus catches up my heart into the very flame of His love." Interesting use of words there. "This was during the evening adoration. All of a sudden, the divine presence invaded me, and I forgot everything else. Jesus gave me to understand how much He had suffered for me. This lasted a very short time, an intense yearning, a longing to love God." Then her sufferings for that period ended. So what's the warning based on these three horrible sufferings of purgatory that St. Faustina goes through? And the warning is this. As it says somewhere in the book of Sirach, if you come to serve the Lord, prepare for trials. Anything else that tells you that to serve God will involve no trials is a lie. The warning is, if you want to serve God, you will suffer, period, the end, either on earth or in purgatory, and if you reject that, in hell. But there is no way to enter heaven without suffering. So you need to be warned that this is a normal part of the spiritual life. But notice this, if you suffer, you're with who? You're with Jesus and with Mary. And if you don't suffer, you're not with Jesus and with Mary. You really are all alone. It's ironic because when we're not suffering, we feel like we're with Jesus. You're not. We've actually abandoned him because Jesus sought out suffering in order to save sinners and grow in holiness. And so this is the great consolation that if we suffer here on earth, it will be meritorious. We will grow in holiness. We will draw closer to Jesus and Mary, who also led lives of suffering. So we will be more deeply united to them in a real way, not just with an emotional kind of high, but in truth, because that's what they did in order to save sinners. It will be meritorious. You will grow in holiness, and you can also then be united to Jesus, Mary, and the souls in purgatory, and you'll become a significantly more effective instrument in releasing them. As she was deeper in communion with them, she also was able to intercede for them more powerfully. Suffering is a normal part of the spiritual life. Don't run from it. The sooner you can understand that, the better. But we do need to make a quick and important distinction. There are two types of sufferings that we can speak of in a very general way. One that's the result of sin, and one that's the result of our serving the Lord. Now, you can use sin suffering to serve the Lord, but usually this is a type of suffering that people are trying to find healing from. So this is suffering as a result of the sins of our ancestors, suffering as a result of our own dumb mistakes and our sins. This suffering Jesus wants to heal us from so that we can then manfully and womanfully take up our cross. And the cross suffering is a suffering that we suffer for the sake of saving souls and getting souls out of purgatory and growing in the spiritual life. So this suffering, this is kind of debt. And when you suffer on this end, that's wealth. That's richness. Does this make sense? So yes, ask for healing from this suffering. No, don't escape this suffering. This is a suffering that's gold. Don't escape that. That's going to unite you to your cross. Be healed from your infirmities, but then take up your cross. My friends, if this has helped you in any way, please subscribe, share, support this channel through Buy Me Coffee. I'll see you in the next one. St. Faustina, pray for us.